Welcome to Coffee with Dr. Stewart. I am your host, Kara Stewart Mullins, and this show is to provide our listeners with up-to-date medical information from a leading neurotologist and nutrigenomics specialist. I invite you to sit back, grab your favorite beverage or cup of coffee, and let's have Coffee with Dr. Stewart. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Coffee with Dr. Stewart. I am your host, Kara Stewart Mullins, and we are on season 4. And this is episode 2. I'm super excited to be here today because this is a great topic. It's probably not a very common topic, but you know how Dr. Stewart and I like to roll out some very uncommon topics and then bring a lot of light to them. But we're going to be talking about GAD. He's going to explain it, everything. Hi, Dr. Stewart. How are you? His eyes are like rolling over here going, oh, gosh, here we go.
Oh, my God. Right?
Oh, my God. So GAD, everybody, is spelled G-A-D.
Yeah. What it stands for is glutamic acid decarboxylase. It's a mutation that is...
genetic mutation.
It's a genetic mutation that is actually turned out to be way more common than we even expected and plays so many different roles in symptomatic control, ADD, anxiety, stress.
Sleep problems.
Brain dysfunction. Lots of problems that... I think it's going to be one of the most important things that that you'll be able to know about.
Well, when we talk to you, we can do a whole show on GAD.
Oh, we can do a couple of them.
Couple shows on GAD because there's just, it's pain, it's dysphoria. Explain dysphoria, what people with GAD mutations.
Well, let's just talk about GAD up front.
Okay, all right.
Now, as with all enzymes, you have to understand what the heck they do, especially if you're looking at genetics. Now, the most prevalent neurotransmitter in our brain is a neurotransmitter called glutamate.
Okay.
And glutamate is a stimulant, and everybody's heard of MSG, so MSG is monosodium glutamate. And what most people don't understand is we have more glutamate in our brain than anything. And so what the GAD mutation, especially GAD1, glutamic acid decarboxylase, it takes glutamate and converts approximately 40% of it to GABA.
Good stuff.
And GABA is gamma aminobutyric acid. Mm-hmm. So it's a mnemonic.
And it calms us down.
And what GABA does is GABA is a calming agent for the nervous system, but it's also used to initiate sleep, to calm your nervous system, to essentially give you a state of euphoria or contentness.
Okay.
You feel content.
I like that.
Not happy, but content.
Mm-hmm.
It also is used in lots of hormonal regulation processes. And in general, what the body is designed to do in a perfect scenario is have a perfect balance between stimulation and calming.
Okay.
Because the way God built our nervous system in particular is it's too hard to go from off to on from a physiologic standpoint. It takes too much time.
Mm-hmm.
So what God does with our nervous system is he has kind of a resting rate. It's always on. And we either turn it up or we turn it down.
Right.
Because it's really easy to turn it up and down if it's always on. And so the problem is if we have a lot of glutamate turning it on all the time, the problem is glutamate not only tells the nervous system but also the body in general to actually increase its metabolic rate. It causes the brain to overstress itself.
Okay.
And so we see in particular a very large amount of glutamate flooding the system in times of crisis.
Okay.
Now, the most easily to understand one is following a head injury. Has anybody ever understood why you bang your head? And even if you don't get a bleed or a bruise or something on the brain, why do you get dingy?
And nothing shows up on your MRI.
And nothing shows up on your MRI. Well, it's because we get what we call a glutamate storm.
Oh, like a flood?
You get a flood. And so what happens is once we get a head injury, in theory, back to the woods.
Right.
Once we got a head injury, we may be a little easier target for the bear. So God floods glutamate into our brain.
Uh-huh.
To make us more aware, increase our metabolic rate, turn up our anxiety, turn up our awareness.
So the brain injury, we're not in the woods, so it doesn't do us good because we're in an overexcitatory state?
That's correct. And so, you know, in general, if you really want to understand concussions, which we'll talk about at a certain point in time, we got to understand that glutamate plays a huge role. Now, if you're a person who has more glutamate than GABA,
uh-huh.
those are the people who do very poorly from head injuries, for instance.
Okay.
Now, the second thing that's really important is that we have now recognized, which is not written, and I'm sure I'm going to get some calls.
You're going to do a white paper.
We have actually recognized two forms of ADD.
Okay.
Now, typically ADHD is a dopamine deficiency, and those are the kids that are running around like crazies.
Hyper.
You understand, hyper, really completely out of it. And mm-hmm. that's dopamine deficiency, and that's what we classically give stimulants for,
right.
like Ritalin and Adderall, or we give methylation, et cetera. But this whole scenario, there are lots of people who, once they get put on stimulants, they do poorly.
Right. It has the opposite effect.
They don't do well.
Right.
Well, what those people actually have is a glutamate GABA imbalance.
Oh, because they have a GAD mutation.
So they have a GAD mutation. And so what we essentially have is too much glutamate in the brain. And what the brain does is it runs at such a high level that it can't keep up with its nutritional needs, and it essentially wears out about noon every day.
Now, would these also be the people, because it says high glutamate has been shown to cause, well, anxiety, of course,
sure.
but bipolar, OCD, and bedwetting?
Sure. Yeah, but what we call this form of ADD is inattentive or unfocused ADD.
And what would a person appear like?
Unfocused.
Oh.
So here's what happens. My child really has problems. He's not hyperactive. He just got problems with focus.
Right. Oh, that just...
Just
so,
focus.
So why did they take... They've kind of taken away the term ADD, and now they all call it ADHD.
Well, it's because they're trying to get it labeled
the hyperactive,
under a drug.
But the hyperactivity isn't always there.
No, you've got to understand that when they prescribe drugs, a lot of times they have to have specific diagnoses to
right.
prescribe the drug.
So would this be back to just typical ADD,
correct.
Like without the hyperactive?
That's correct.
And so, interesting.
And the treatment is completely different than the way you treat true ADHD.
And what would the treatment be?
Okay, so in this scenario where you've actually got too much glutamate and not enough GABA, we really want to lower the glutamate
mm-hmm.
and we want to increase the GABA. Here's the problem. You can't give GABA because GABA itself breaks down to glutamate.
Ah, because they have the mutation.
And so everybody thinks, oh, we'll just give GABA. Well,
right.
the problem is, no, it's not from the mutation. The natural course of GABA breakdown is back to glutamate, but if you can't put it back to GABA, you wind up increasing the glutamate, which was already a problem.
Okay, explain real quick what the path that GABA takes into the system or to
no,
return.
So glutamate mm-hmm. converted by GAD1 to GABA. So
okay.
they're supposed to be a perfect balance. The problem is if you give regular GABA, it's going to break down to glutamate.
And stay glutamate.
And stay in glutamate.
It won't convert back to GABA.
Not very well, because that's the problem in the first place.
Ah.
Now, the way we've actually solved it is that we tend to use things to actually block the glutamate receptor. So the glutamate receptor is a receptor called the NMDA receptor.
Okay.
And so that receptor is actually, there's been lots of things that have been developed over long periods of time, and there's natural things that can help it. The things that are natural that helps it is elderberry extract,
mm-hmm.
Sambuca,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Sambuca, the Greek? Like
yeah, there's a little
liqueur.
Berry. Yeah, well, that's made from those berries.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
I wouldn't say give liqueur.
Tastes terrible, but.
Yeah. But Sambuca. And so anise a little bit does it too.
And
anise, the spice. So you may be a person who likes chai teas. You may be a person who likes pho
mm-hmm.
at the Thai restaurant.
I love pho. Right. Is that because I'm deficient?
No, you're too much. You're blocking the glutamate. So you're a glutamate overstimulator.
Okay.
Now, what we use medication-wise is I love medicines from the 70s.
Right.
And the reason I tend to love them is because they come from plants usually.
Okay.
So anise was developed into a drug called amantadine.
Mm-hmm.
And amantadine also has Namenda, which is the new form of it. But amantadine originally came out as a anti-flu drug.
And it's an antiviral, right?
Well, it's not really an antiviral. What it does is it blocks the glutamate receptor, and that's where influenza loves to attack the cells.
Oh.
And so what amantadine does is it tends to calm these kids down, and so you reduce the glutamate.
And this is a prescription?
That's a prescription.
Okay.
But you can use elderberry or sambuca or things like
or
that.
Or the things we're going to talk about in your new formula.
Right. Now, what also happens in about the new formula is there's a culture that we've actually found who has GAD1s quite a bit. Do you know what culture that is?
Well, I know because you told me, and you said it in your workshop to a bunch of doctors, the Russians.
So Eastern Europeans have this tremendously well. And the problem with having this is that you're always in need of trying to calm the brain down.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have this GAD1 mutation, what people do if they don't see doctors and you don't help them is they always go to the things that naturally calm the brain, and that's alcohol and marijuana.
Right.
So I will tell you every alcoholic, and I will tell you every kid who says he has to smoke weed
mm-hmm. has a GAD1 mutation.
Every son of you won't ever have to guess.
Ah, interesting.
You understand? Now, they created a form of GABA in Russia. It's called beta-phenyl GABA.
But it's not like the traditional GABA.
It's a GABA that's like that, but it's chemically modified so it does not break down to glutamate.
Oh.
And so that's what we use for our new formula.
Well, I've been taking it, and I feel really good. And I take it in the morning. But I know a lot of people take it at night to wind down.
Sure they do.
And so why does one work this for me in the morning and the others at night?
Well, it's because you need help all day. You have a GABA imbalance. You don't have enough GABA to keep your brain working at the right pace.
Right. And I don't have a double mutation.
Just a single.
Just a single, but that's
if you have
enough.
A double, then those people can't go to sleep at night. Mm-hmm. They tell me their brain races down four or five different thoughts and they can't finish one.
Right.
Their muscles stay more tense because GABA relaxes muscles.
Right.
They tend to be much more sensitive to pain. They tend to be much more sensitive to anxiety. And so their body's just in this hypersensitive state. So they're always looking for something to kind of calm it down.
Okay. And so do you think that's where a lot of people look for things like in alcohol and drugs and other things?
Absolutely.
So if we could get them nutritionally what they need, maybe we, you know, a lot of people always say, what does Dr. Stewart think about, you know, ex-alcoholics or people that have quit drinking or quit drug use? They want to know, they always look to focus on neurotransmitters.
Well, this is a neurotransmitter.
Oh, it is. Well, explain that.
Glutamate's a neurotransmitter.
See, I don't know these things. This is all new to me. This is brand new.
These are just standard
neurotransmitters. I'm telling you, I looked last night, as I do before every show, to try and prepare questions for this, and there is not anything out there. You've got to write a paper on it and get it out there, you know, because people are suffering from depression, anxiety, and they're trying all these different things. Mm-hmm. And if they just maybe looked at their GAD mutations, it would answer a lot of questions.
Well, you never can look at anything in isolation.
Right.
So if you're looking at serotonin and dopamine, you also got to look at GABA. Because really the way God designed you to be a calm, content, processing, everything's great, is good dopamine, good serotonin, and good GABA.
Okay.
And that's the way the world works.
But if you have a GAD mutation,
you're not going to make enough GABA, so you're going to be in a hyperstimulated
state. Yeah, because it says that, you know, the when GABA levels are depleted, this could lead to an excitatory state, causing anxiety, panic disorders, ADD, of course, and be a contributory factor for chronic pain syndrome.
Absolutely.
So it manifests into a pain syndrome that maybe never had an injury, or how does that work?
Well, it just means that your nerves are in a hyperexcitable state, and so they exaggerate everything that goes on. So if you're supposed to have a little bit of pain, it'll be a lot more if you have more glutamate.
And you know what? I know I have one copy, but sometimes pain is worse than others, and is it just because it's a stressful time, like in our last show that we talked about?
Absolutely.
Pain seems so much more severe.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to take a break real quick, and when we come back, I want to talk to Dr. Stewart about this new formula, ProGAD Enhancer, and then I want to talk to you about diet associated with people that have these double GAD mutations or have GAD mutations. So we'll be right back with Coffee with Dr. Stewart.
Before your brother-in-law, aka Mr. Butterfingers, dropped your favorite stemware at your dinner party, you were nervous. You want a flawless evening, from the perfect pesto to the puff pastries. And so far, you're succeeding. Still, as the smiling faces envelop your heart, you wonder, do your guests know that you used to suffer from fatigue and anxiety? That with a simple genetic test from your doctor, you can now manage these issues and know exactly what nutrients you need to be healthy? You understand because your best friend shared the knowledge of genomics nutrition, the gene test that shows how you're built genetically. Now you no longer waste your time and money on guessing which nutrients you need and don't need to feel better. Right now, though, you need to find your broom. Visit MyDNA123.com to find a healthcare provider near you for genomics nutrition testing. That's MyDNA123.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration and are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Everybody, welcome back to Coffee with Dr. Stewart. We are on season 4, episode 2, talking about GAD, G-A-D, GAD mutations. And, you know, mutations, again, just to kind of recap, you can go back to some of our previous shows. You know, Dr. Stewart is a genetic specialist, nutrigenomics. GAD is a serious mutation that a lot of people have out there that now that we've done so many genetic tests, how common is it, Dr. Stewart, would you say?
Well, I mean, it depends on your race, but if you're a white person, I'd say probably 70%.
Really?
Mm-hmm, 60.
And depression rates are higher typically? And when you say, you know, like...
The depression is higher because you're stimulating the brain to overwork itself. Mm-hmm. Remember, depression is a depletion of neurotransmitters. You've overworked the brain.
Right.
Whether it's by stress or a challenging event or a neurotransmitter imbalance, what you've done is you've just... You just worn the brain out.
Right.
You can't keep up with anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why those people are so miserable, because their brain is just
It can't
done.
Do any. It's done.
It's done.
And they can't get out of it.
That's right.
So
people with GAD who run at a higher metabolic rate, just like driving your car faster, you run out of resources quicker.
Right.
And so that's the problem. That's why GAD contributes to this. And it also turns up the sensitivity of the entire system. So it becomes a bigger deal when you have more glutamate.
Well, in 2017, you did your advanced genetic workshop, mm-hmm. and you said in front of everybody, "I'm gonna figure this dang GAD issue out," because you were stumped, because a lot of people hadn't figured out what to do about a GAD mutation,
right.
But we knew it was affecting people that have it tremendously, you know, with how they feel about themselves, or with the dysphoria that you talk about,
right,
and so you came up with something. You came out with the Pro GAD Enhancer, and mm-hmm. I mean. It's amazing. I mean, great feedback, and myself, I love it.
Yeah, what we did is we took that form of GABA I mentioned before, beta-phenyl GABA, and if you start looking at the receptor... That's phenibute.
Okay.
If we look at the receptor, we find out that glycine basically is the opposite of glutamate.
Okay.
So we use some glycine. Magnesium and zinc helped.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also had NAC. And then there's also a scavenger that we're probably going to wind up putting in the formula eventually, and it's called oxaloacetate.
What does that do?
It scavenges. They call it
I like the word scavenge.
It's a glutamate scavenger.
What does scavengers do?
This means it grabs it.
Oh, okay. Eats it up?
Yeah, eats it up. And so the problem is you would have these group of people who would say, we'd say, oh, you got a GAD1, take some GABA, and they'd take GABA and they'd go through the roof.
Right. I wanted to ask you about that.
And so what was happening in that scenario is that we have a significant problem with the GABA breaking back down to glutamate and not being able to produce more GABA.
Right.
Now, that also happens in another group of patients. Glutamine, which is a precursor to glutamate,
mm-hmm.
Is used in the bowel, and it actually works very well for a lot of people in their bowel.
Right.
Okay, because it helps motility and everything else. But the problem is that if you put glutamine in and you look at the bowel in isolation, you'll have a lot of people that get whacked out
right.
in their brain when they put them on glutamine. So we have to
Became
be really...
Became excitatory and
correct.
Kind of euphoric.
Mm-hmm. And so what happened is we've got to be real careful in understanding and look, making sure we stay holistic and we're looking at the whole body instead
and not,
of looking at individual organ systems.
And that's the problem. A lot of people go, oh, the brain, oh, the gut. No, everything's connected.
Well, here's the reason the gut and the brain tend to be talked to together, because they're using the same neurotransmitters.
Oh.
Okay, it doesn't mean that they are connected, but they use the same neurotransmitters.
They require both the the neurotransmitters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the interesting. So when we came out with this formula a few months ago,
mm-hmm.
you know, you see phenibut on the label, and people are like, "Oh, I'm going to go and look up phenibut." Of course, there's other cofactors, and if you read about phenibut, you know, they were using them in high doses. People were
sure.
It could have an addictive property to it, and then you have to take more and more and more. You explained in your workshop how it works with the glycine as the buffer.
Right. So the thing is what you never want to do is depend on one agent to manipulate the system.
Right.
Okay. And that's kind of the problem with drugs. You're going to see the newest rage in drugs is let's put two or three drugs together
uh-huh.
and then get a new patent. Okay.
Oh, look, they followed what you do.
So the thing is, you never want to use one agent in too much concentration, and that's what phenibut was doing.
By itself.
If you're a person who was an alcoholic or you had a drug use,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you'd have to take a tremendous amount of phenibut to really get the effect of what you were doing there.
Right.
So what we had to do is we had to add in other ways to manipulate the receptor
mm-hmm.
and to make the nervous system calm down. And that makes us not have to use so much phenibut, but we still get the same effect.
Because you got 300 milligrams of phenibut, but then you have... I can't remember how much glycine, but you say that's what kind of buffers the need for more and more.
It does buffer it, but it also helps. That's exactly right. It just keeps everything in a balance. And what we actually did is we took about 50 patients who had GAD1 double copies.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did is we gave them each of those individually.
Okay.
And we asked them to call us back at four weeks and 8 weeks and let us know how they liked it. And so that's how we decided we would build that formula, because it worked for people.
Right. And what's interesting, like I said, you know, for me, it's... I like it in the morning. I'm not a double gad, right. But I like it in the morning because it makes me feel kind of a little euphoric.
Right.
But then, like, you know, a couple of my employees take in the evening because they can't turn their brains off.
Yeah, I tell people
it helps them sleep.
It's not a sleep agent.
No, it is not.
It's a wind your brain down so you can go to sleep agent.
We should have called wind your brain down.
Yeah.
Because, see, I wake up with my brain going a million miles a minute.
Yeah, you know I wanted to call it oh my gad. Right?
Oh my gad, because it helps you so much.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I wouldn't let you put that on the label. I don't know
that's
if it
I
would go over
it.
Well. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. So, you know, we have our calming cream and we have our Mood Plus. Both have GABA in it. And many years ago, people would take it. Now it works for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But then you'd have these kids or parents or just people that say, oh, my God, no, it keeps me awake.
Sure.
It doesn't do anything for me. And we always wondered why.
That's these people.
That have GAD mutations.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what's happening when they're taking it? Is it?
Well, it's got GABA in it, so they're producing more glutamate.
Oh, man. So we would just tell them to stop taking it. It's obviously not the right product for
it's
you.
It's not the right product for them.
But with the genetics now, we have proof.
Correct.
So what would you recommend for a patient that... You know, I guess you could go out and do a GABA test. GABA is very inexpensive. You could go out and take some GABA and see what happens to you. If it gives you an excitatory state and not a calming state, would you want to get your genetics done to see where it's at?
I'm always, you know.
I know. You want everybody to have a genetic test in the entire world.
Of
and
course.
I think they should too.
Absolutely.
And it may be that way one day.
Well, it'll wind up saving you money and hassle and effort and everything
that
else.
Is true. That is
true. We've just got to get it.
But let's say you don't have the money to go get your genetic test. And even though it's becoming very, very reasonable.
Well, then it's trial or error.
Yeah. So would you go take some GABA and see how it affects you?
Sure you can.
And then you can go, okay, well, I need to stay away from things that have GABA in it and look to other sources that
Correct.
Can help glutamate.
Right. You can pretty much tell by symptoms, though. You don't even have to do that. If you have trouble turning your brain off, if your muscles stay tighter, if you have low blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
If you have constipation, remember GABA relaxes muscles. So
right.
People with constipation chronically can't relax the bowel so it can squeeze back hold. That's called peristalsis.
I knew there was a big word for that.
Right?
Yeah.
People who have a tiny bladder syndrome.
Right.
Women with IC.
You mean people that have to pee a lot, like men, especially they always think it's their prostate, but it may not be that.
They can't relax their bladder. Women with interstitial cystitis, if you have chronic pain syndromes, if you have inattentive ADD, those are all GAD.
So this is why they talked about the overstimulation of glutamate for bedwetting.
Correct.
Because
they can't
relax their bladder in that sleep state that you talk about.
Correct.
Oh my gosh, this just a light bulb and like
Good.
Popped over my
Finally.
Head three times. Thank you. That's so nice. Okay. Well, let's get to this. So diet. What do you think about diet that for people that have GAD mutations?
Well, you know, the thing is, there are certain glutamate stimulators and the most notorious is actually sugar. Has anybody
sugar.
Ever wondered why you give a class of third graders cupcakes and then everybody goes nuts?
But everybody thinks, you know, it's like I have a 9-year-old and they're like, oh, you give them sugar and they're wound up. And you used to think that people were just saying that, but it's the sugar turning to glutamate.
No, not turning to it. It just stimulates glutamate.
Oh, okay. So it is a true statement then.
Right. And the kids that get really wound up,
right.
those kids have GAD.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah. My 9-year-old. Yeah. But trying to fight the sugar
don't
is
you
hard.
Don't you like MSG in your food?
I hope it doesn't have MSG in it.
No, but what I'm telling you is the reason food tastes better is because you stimulate your brain.
Right.
When you have MSG, and so that Chinese food tastes extra good.
But now, you know, remember a big marketing plan went out 10 years ago that took out all the MSG from Chinese food?
Right.
You know, so it says MSG free, MSG free. Was that because they were getting some negative effects?
Well, it's just because if you have a GAD and you take MSG, it's going to really affect you.
Okay. So other than the pro-GAD.
MSG is still really prevalent.
Right. We
really
just don't know about it.
You know, a classic thing is, you know, that meat tenderizer or
right.
seasoning salts for your steaks and stuff.
MSG.
Turn it over.
That's why I love all the steaks. So what will be listed on the back of the label?
A lot of times they'll spell it out, monosodium glutamate.
So you don't recognize it.
Recognize it.
Very interesting. I might have to go up and look. So soy sauce and things like that,
sometimes
you want to just look at the back of the label.
Well, you know, especially if you have a GAD.
Is that why they, you know, the little that I found on the internet about these mutations, the paleo diet was recommended? Why is that? Because, you know, a lot of our products are paleo friendly.
Well, paleo is very sugar unfriendly.
Oh, okay.
Do you understand? Paleo is just a good thing anyway.
It is.
For most people.
And why is that?
It's just you stay away from most of the inflammatory foods and you're eating more like your ancestors did.
Back in the like caveman days?
Not caveman. I mean, if you look at ancient cultures, if you go back 500 years and look at the cultures, everybody was eating fruits and vegetables, seasonal fruits, vegetables,
right.
meats, and that's pretty much all you
what
ate.
Was grown in your garden, what you got off the cow, right, or
right.
the pig. So,
well, you didn't kill your cow. You didn't eat the meat. You milked it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm just looking here, like, you know, the recommended reduced foods such as peas, tomato juice, Parmesan.
Okay, what he's talking about there is that's basically those are things that actually have histamine reactions or potential histamine reactions.
Like you've talked about the dark, what is it, the dark
And histamines
tomatoes.
Can stimulate glutamate too.
Okay, so would the GI hiss be?
It can be. If you just stay away from it, you'll be better.
But the GI hiss, if you want to eat something with histamine and you have a GAD one, you could take the GI hiss to
sure
kind of help.
There's no doubt about it.
Okay, that's very interesting. God, you don't even realize what different things you can take out there to help with
the biggest thing with glutamate that's become very popular in the media with too much glutamate is the chronic pain and the opiate.
Right, that's what I want. We're going to do a whole show on chronic pain.
Yeah,
so.
And the opiate addiction problem that we've got.
Gosh, that's all over the news everywhere. It's mm-hmm. terrible.
Well, it is. And so glutamate and GAD plays a big role in that too.
Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit about with the chronic pain with the GAD mutations. Why is that so prevalent?
Well, the people who have just pain syndromes and they get over it and they get off their narcotics and they're fine
right.
are great. But the problem is when you have a GAD mutation and you have too much glutamate, your nervous system stays in a hypersensitive state. So that small amount of pain becomes a big amount of pain to you.
Oh, I gotcha. So then they think they need more medication.
Chronic narcotics. They don't think they need it. They do need it.
They do need it.
They do need it, but you've got to calm the glutamate down so that they don't need it.
And how can you do that with the ProGAD and Phenibut
you
and things
can,
of that nature?
Then there's also ketamine and other things that we
That's an IV drip.
Yeah, that we'll talk about.
Yeah, and we're going to have some doctors on that are pain specialists. They're MDs, pain specialists. They're going to come. I don't know if you know this yet, but they're mm-hmm. going to come and do a show with us next month. But I'm excited to have them on, and so look forward to that. But I just want to wrap it up here. So if you take GABA, you have an issue, it makes you excitatory. Mm-hmm. That would be your first clue, kind of ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, but just go by the symptoms. You'll know.
I can talk
to somebody and know.
And it's people, and a lot of people that are tend to be very sensitive and sad at times, and you in the dysphoria that you talked about, don't have a good sense of well-being.
Sure. Can't sleep. Have muscles that are tense.
Yeah, but then I know some people that I know have double GADs that do exercise, get to sleep at the same time every night, and they do very well.
Sure.
You know, so it's not hopeless. I don't want anybody to think that we're talking about this because it's hopeless.
No,
we're here to guide you in what you can do about it, right?
Absolutely.
Any other words of wisdom you'd like to?
Well, the people with double GADs, if you live a quality life and don't have a lot of stressors and you exercise and you take care of yourself, you're going to do better.
All right. Well, you heard it from the man there. Okay. All right, everybody. We want you to have a great day. You can call us at 866-500-5388 or submit questions to info@neurobiologics.com. And everybody have a blessed and beautiful day.
The views expressed by show hosts or their guests are their own and shall not be construed in any way as advice in place of your own medical practitioners. We encourage you to seek professional advice or care for any problem which you may have.